This is a picture, spiritually, doctrinally, of the Antichrist in the tribulation, but physically this happened many years ago in B.C. 600. Let's read just a little bit. I have to read a little bit just so you'll get the story. This is a story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One black preacher said, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Couldn't pronounce it. That's what he said. A black preacher said that. But I've heard preachers pronounce it all kinds of ways. But anyway, let's start here in verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar the king set to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall be the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. That's forced religion. That's fascism, we call it. That's what we escaped England for, to get out of the Roman Catholic Church and come over here. Right. Amen. And so, in verse 7 said, therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people of the nations and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Well, they conformed quick, didn't they? Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake, so they had been carried captive. You remember that story? They carried away captive for 70 years. And they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you worship my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Here's a perfect time for them to back down and chicken out and just say, oh, well, it's just a misunderstanding. Don't get all mad and upset and everything. I mean, you know, yeah, we'll fall down and worship. It's no big deal. I mean, we'll worship it, and we'll just go repent later. That would be a good time right here. Okay? Here's what they said. Now, if ye be ready that at the sound time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, why does the King James Bible keep repeating stuff over and over and over? So you'll learn it. This dulcimer and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, that's fine. We're going to give you another chance. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Now watch what they said. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what that means, what they said? What that means is we're not nervous and upset about this. If you'll read over in Thessalonians, it said, being not careful, be careful. He's talking about being careful, not worrying about stuff. And that, what they were saying is, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not going to take our time. We can get right to the point. That's what they were saying. They were not saying we're not careful the way we think they mean it. They're saying we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not going to hesitate to answer you in this matter. We know exactly how we're going to answer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. He is able. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Praise God. What faith these men had. Young people, take a stand for God. But here's what I want to preach on. But if not, here's what I want to preach on. But if not. But if by chance he don't, be it known unto thee, O king, put this in your mop and smop and poke it. This old saying goes, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know the rest of the story. The king went into a rage and they turned the furnace up 7 times hotter and throwed them in, and the men that throwed them in burned up. And he went down the next morning and there wasn't 3 men in the furnace walking around. There's 4. And you know who the 4th man in the fire was, don't you? It was Jesus. You say Jesus wasn't born yet. He was too, because he said the 4th man's like unto the Son of God. And what I want to preach to you is those 3 words. In verse 18, it wasn't that there's doubt in God. They said, it just so happens, if it's not the perfect will of God to deliver us out of the fiery furnace, we still are not going to bow to pagan heathen gods. That's not our religion. That's not our God. That golden image you made, that's a homemade image made with man's hand. That's not the God of the Hebrews. That's not Jehovah, and we will not worship him. I want to preach on that this morning. But if not, we live in a day and age where Christian people, I mean, we treat our religion and our belief system like we act like we serve God because God puts sprinkles and brown sugar on everything. And we act like we serve God because it's all good and it's fun and it's a party. And there's nothing wrong with praising God for everything he's done for us because God is good to us. There's no question about it. But what if he wasn't so good to us? What if he didn't give us all the stuff that he's given us? Would you still serve him? Hey, brother and sister, we're supposed to serve God because of who God is. Not because of all these blessings. All these blessings that God gives us is benefits that God blesses us with. The Bible says in 4 different places in the Word of God that the just shall live by faith. We serve God by faith. We don't serve God by our feelings. We don't serve God because of what he does or how good it feels, because there's a tingly feeling. We serve God because who God is. Hey, I want to tell you something, brother. Hey, these Muslims are crazy. I mean, what they believe is crazy. I taught in Sunday school for about 3 weeks what they believe, and I talked to you about some of that weird stuff. I mean, they teach you some of that stuff they believe while you're praying, and that a camel can come up and use the bathroom in your ear, and they teach that the devil is inside of your nose. I mean, they believe some crazy stuff. But I'll tell you one thing, they don't get a feeling. They don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They don't feel nothing. They have an emptiness inside of them. They don't have hope. They don't have an eternal home in glory like you and me. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, they have faith in what they got. Hey, brother, they got faith. Most Christian people, they'd quit serving God just like that if they didn't feel nothing. I'm telling you something, brother. We serve God by faith. Brother, we walk by faith, not by sight. And brother, listen, they said, but if not, hey, brother, they were reminded of their God. They said, well, they looked at that big old thing standing up there. They said, that's not our God. We're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. We don't care what you play. We don't care if you play the sackbut and the psaltery and the flute and the cornet. We don't care if you play a rock band and a country band. We don't care who you play. We don't care if you play a bluegrass outfit. It don't matter what you play. That's not our God. Hey, they took a stand. They were reminded of their God. Hey, I want to say something this morning. We serve God by faith. And if it wasn't for our faith, brother and sister, we'd never make it out of here. They were reminded of their God. They were resolved in their convictions. You know, most Christian people ain't got no convictions. They'll go along with anything. They'll go along with anything, brother. I'm telling you, most Christian people go along with anything. I'm telling you, I guarantee you, know the average Baptist church, and they have a visiting preacher get up, he'll preach anything. People say they'll nod their head. That's right. Yeah, they'll get up there and they'll preach something. If it sounds good, they'll get up there and preach and they can say something off the wall like Moses really wasn't a Hebrew. He was something else. And they'll say, oh really? Well, that sounds good. He proved it. He looked it up in the Hebrew. He had some Hebrew words. That's wild, wasn't it? And they'll agree with it. Because they ain't got no convictions. They don't believe what the book says. Amen? But they believe, listen, they was resolved in their convictions. Brother, I tell you, I'd love to see some people in this 21st century that had some convictions, brother and sister. I mean, something that's worth dying over. I'll tell you something, brother. When I was 20 years old, when I got saved, I'll tell you what I did. I got me a King James Bible, and I said, I'm going to preach out of this, and I'm going to live by it. I'm going to die by it. I'm going to write when me and her got married. I said, this is what we're going to live by. We're going to build our family on this. I'm going to be the head of the house, and you'll be subject to me. That's right. And I'll be the head of the house, and you can be the neck if you want to, but I'll be the head of the home, and you can guide the home, and the kids can listen to us. And that's the way, because that's the way the Bible teaches it, brother. You can like it, lump it, jump it, or stomp it, or whatever. I'm telling you what this blessed book teaches. Brother, I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to live by the blessed old Bible as long as I live. And brother, what this Bible's for, I'm for it. What the Bible's against, I'm against it. If the Bible's against it, I'll preach it till I die. Amen, brother. The Bible's for it. I'm going to shout on it until Jesus comes back. You say, preacher, you're going to make some enemies. I don't care. Get in line. Pick a number and get to the back of the line, brother. I know I got enemies. I don't care. Listen, I made up my mind. I got some convictions, brother. And they ain't going to change every time somebody comes along and says, we've decided this and we've decided that. Our organization decided this. One preacher around here said, our organization decided that we're not going to marry homosexuals. I want to tell you something, church. Hey, I'm the pastor here. Hey, I didn't have to get no organization to come along and say, Brother Ronnie, we want you to sign a paper. I'll tell you what you can do with that paper. I'll tell you where you can put it. You know, you can just guess the rest of it, brother. I don't need no association or no organization to tell me about the homosexual movement. Hey, brother, I dare one of them to ask me to marry them. I'll tell you something right now. I've got some conviction, and I'm going to keep them, brother, and I'm not going to change them every time the wind blows. We need some people that's got some convictions, brother. I admire people's convictions, even if I don't agree with them. I do. I admire people's convictions, even if they ain't mine. I do. I sort of admire those Muslims, their convictions part of it, because they believe in something. You say, preacher, I can't believe you said that. The part where they believe in something so strong that they'll take a grenade and strap it to themselves. And I hate that they kill people, but they believe in something so strong they're willing to die. How about that? Christian people won't pick up a gospel tract. I couldn't tell you the last time somebody asked me, preacher, where's the tracts at? Won't even witness for Jesus. I'm talking about, listen, they were resolved in their convictions. They were resigned in their decision. What I mean by that, hey, they knew what was going to happen. They said this. They said, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. Are you crazy? You know who they're talking to? They was not talking to the mayor. They wasn't talking to they weren't talking to the county clerk. They weren't talking to the county council. They're talking to the man that had the crown on his head. We're not gonna bow. We're not bowing. And they said, "You can throw us in the fiery furnace, because we will not bow to your image, Mr. King." He said, do you know where you're going to end up this morning or today? We're going to fire up that furnace and throw you in. And they said, go ahead and get it cooking because we're not bowing. That's right. They were resigned in their decision. You said, preacher, where is that going to end? You know what that could end up with? I mean, preaching like that and standing for something like that. I mean, you can lose your job. You can lose your tax exempt status. You can lose your life. Can I tell you something? There's some things that's worse than death. Our forefathers died for what you're doing this morning. There's people that died so that you could sit here in this church. There's people that died so you could sit here and open that Bible and read it. There's people laying in a cemetery. So you could sit here and have freedom this morning to get in your car and drive here. There's things a lot worse than death. Amen. You lose your pride and your dignity. Amen. Just sell yourself out. Sell your convictions and sell, amen, sell the truth down the river just so you can just and sell your soul to the devil. I ain't gonna do it this morning. We ought to stand for God and stand for what's right. They were resolved. Let me tell you about another man, old Job. But if not, by the way, God did deliver them. But when they throw them in the fiery furnace, they didn't know that. Job was a mighty man and had it all. Job lost it all. You realize Job lost everything he had? Job didn't gradually lose everything. Job lost everything one, let's say, one Tuesday afternoon like that. And one day, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, which is 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys, 7 boys and 3 girls, and probably granddaughters, all at one time. He woke up one morning and had all that, went to bed that night, and it's all gone. But if not, God's a good God. We always talk about how good God is. God is good. God is good. God is good. Yes, He is. But if not, would you still serve Him? God's give everybody here good jobs, good cars, money, health, strength, homes to live in, a shelter over your head. What if He didn't? Would you still serve Him? Think about that. You say, preacher, yeah, but God's too good. But I don't know. I mean, I've read about those people, our Christian forefathers. Go home and get you a, buy you a, some of you men, I gave you a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read what they did. God didn't deliver them and give them a home and a new car. Read over in Hebrews 11 where it said, and others dwelling in caves, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and they lost their families. I've read where they took some of those peoples that wouldn't deny their faith and took their kids and killed them right in front of them. But if not, God's good. He is good. What if He didn't deliver you? Would you still serve Him? Over there in, where was it this week, last week? A couple weeks ago in Yemen, the terrorists went into this school, kicked the door down, a bunch of gunmen went in there. How many of you are Christians? About 13 of them stood up, mowed them down. Would you? Would you have done that? God's good, preacher. Woo! He sure is good. We're sitting in here, a beautiful air-conditioned sanctuary, got our nice clothes on. We're going to go eat chicken in about 20 minutes. But if not, what if He didn't? What if we wasn't here? What if we wasn't in this air-conditioned, beautiful sanctuary and we was all going to go eat chicken, take a nap, and come back and have fun tonight? What if we was overseas somewhere, trapped somewhere, and couldn't get home like that girl was and they killed her? Or one of those reporters where you're sitting in a cement block building and you know them terrorists are going to cut your head off. And you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and God don't deliver you. Say, preacher, it don't make sense. It don't make sense. Sure it does. Sure it does. Faith is like film that's developed in the dark. Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, for I know my Redeemer liveth. Job said all that after he lost every single thing he had. Job didn't have people around patting him on the back. His materialism was gone. His misery was great. His mate was grumbling. And his mind was going. In chapter 3, he said, he opened his mouth and cursed his day. He said, let the day perish when I was born. But he never cursed God with his mouth. Job wished he'd never been born. I'm just saying this morning, how strong really is your faith? It's easy to have strong faith when everything's going good. You got You got everything you ever wanted. All of us are like that. We're all spoiled brats. He said, "Preacher, I can't believe you're talking to me that way." I said, "We." I'm talking about me too. We all got everything we want. All of us got 2 cars, 3 cars, trucks, 4-wheelers, motorcycles, boats sitting in the yard, everything you person could ever want. But there's other people in that parts of the world don't have anything. And they're Christians too, and they believe in the same God we believe in, and they ain't got nothing. They say He'll deliver us out of this fire. But if not, what if He don't? Well, preacher, everything will work out. What if it don't? What if it don't? You say, "Preacher, ain't you got no faith?" Yeah, I've got faith, but I'm just saying, sometimes it don't work out the way you think it's going to. Oh, it always works out. Tell that to people that's had a little kid to die. Tell that to people that's had a loved one to die. Or a mate to run off and leave them and never come back. It don't always work out. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be Mr. Depression this morning. I'm just trying to tell you, you better make up your mind you're going to serve God, even if it don't work out and even if things don't work out the way you want them to. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest preacher that ever lived, ever walked on planet Earth, was John the Baptist. He preached for just a few months, and they grabbed him, throwed him in jail, and then lopped off his head. Jesus said he's the greatest preacher, greatest man that ever lived. Why would the Lord let such a great man let that happen to him? God's perfect will. Sometimes God's perfect will is a strange thing. Paul was probably the greatest Christian ever lived. He had health problems. He took a physician with him everywhere he went. Luke was his personal friend and physician and wrote a lot for him because Paul's eyes was bad and he couldn't see well. Paul was frail and had health problems. You know, Paul spent most of his time in jail. When you read those epistles, those prison epistles, Paul's sitting in a jail cell, rats running around, roaches and dampness and cold. He's writing, "Rejoice," and again I say rejoice. Can't hardly see. And they're whipping him and being mean to him, mistreating him. Oh, mercy. But if not, are you still going to serve him? I know we serve God because God's good to us, but what are we going to do? What are we going to do if things don't turn out so great? What if this thing gets worse before the rapture? What if it goes downhill? And, hey, we think we've seen hard times. What are we going to do if things get really, really rough before the tribulation hits this thing? Paul said he was beaten. He said he was beaten so many times. He was beaten 40 stripes, save one. 5 different times, beat with rods. He was shipwrecked, and night and a day he was spent in the deep. And all those things that happened to him. And he still said it's far greater on the other side. What we got to understand, folks, is this right here. Here's what we miss. This is why they had such a deeper walk with God than we do. We just look at the here and now. But those people looked at over there. We just look at right now. We're just having a good time and we enjoy it. We enjoy serving God. We enjoy going to church and feeling it and feeling having fun. But they always had they always was looking over across on the other side. They weren't looking at earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. They was always looking over yonder. That's the Christian's problem. Me and Debbie's talked about this lots and lots of times. I've told her a bunch of times, man, Christians back then had something we don't have. People were tortured. That Christian, this Fox's Book of Martyrs I mentioned a while ago, man, I read where they took this one guy, took his kids, 4 of them, and killed them one at a time. And he never would deny his faith. One at a time. Killed them one at a time right in front of him. Your kids. If they took your 2 little kids when they was little and killed them, said, "All right, you ready to deny your faith?" "Nope." And killed them one at a time. How any man could do that? I said, they had something we don't have. They had a deeper walk with God than we do. They had that, but if not relationship. They could see way over yonder. We just see down here. We're in the closet. We're back there in the dressing room. They're out on the stage. They're looking over yonder. They see the finish line. This ain't it, man. This is just the getting ready place. They see way over yonder, past this life. It ain't about here. This is just the getting ready place. Amen? Joseph was a man. Joseph was a young man. Did nothing wrong and spent all those years in prison. All those years being mistreated. Why would God let all that bad things happen to somebody like that? David was a man on the run from King Saul. Think about it. David's a little boy. He comes out there, and this prophet, this old prophet comes out there. Come on, Ronnie's being, I'm about through. We look at it like this. God's got his hand on somebody. Good things are going to happen. Everything's going to fall into place. That ain't true. God can have his hand on something, and it might take years for it to develop. This old prophet walks out there and pours oil over David's head, and David's just a little boy, just a teenager. And David kills a giant. And the women start dancing in the street and singing, King Saul kills his thousand. Old Saul's up there grinning like this. And then the next verse goes, but David kills his 10,000s. David kills his 10,000s. Saul goes, what? And something got inside of him. This jealousy came in him. And Saul chased David, tried to kill him. He threw the javelin at him at supper one night and tried to kill him. You know the story. You've read all through the... And Saul chased David for years. David even went and lived among the Philistines for over 2 years, his enemies. For years, David was on the run from his own people. Why would God let all that happen to him? That's that, but if not faith. Think about when David's living out there in the wilderness, camping out, thinking, I don't understand. That priest poured that oil over my head and said, someday I'm going to be king. Why is he letting all this happen to me? You better be careful thinking like that. Well, I'm in God's will. I'm reading my Bible every day, and I'm going to church, and the Lord ought to be letting good things happen to me. Be patient. You've heard of the patience of Job, James said. I was telling you about Job a while ago. The Bible did say the end of Job was greater than the beginning, but it took years for it to come back around. You know, it took Job and his wife a long time to ever start having kids again. It took Job a long time to rebuild. It took Job a long time to get well again. He was sick for a long time. He didn't just get up, scrape the boils off him and his wife, go on their honeymoon. They didn't just go on a cruise. It took a long time to get well. Probably 20 or maybe 30 years where all that came full circle. Our problem is we want an instant God to fix everything. We want to pray and go out the door and it's fixed the next day. Don't work like that. But if not, are you still going to have faith? You still going to believe God? Still going to trust God? Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's stand this morning.